and welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is IBM Business Process Manager version 7.5, Deployments and Troubleshooting. Today's presenter is Sridhar Edam. Sridhar has been a longtime support engineer for IBM BPM products and has very good understanding of the architecture, design, and operational aspects of the BPM products. This time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sridhar.
Thanks, David. Hi all. My name is Sridhar Edam, and I'm a level 2 support engineer for BPM. Today, I want to cover the BPM 7.5 deployment and some troubleshooting as well. The agenda for today would be on slide two. So I'll cover the deployment topology and the deployment scenarios and the two kinds of deploys that are regularly used in BPM, the online versus offline deploy, a little bit of troubleshooting and some commonly known issues during the deployments. Going on to slide three. So the deployment topology, the runtime topology, where customers deploy their artifacts to the runtime environment, looks something similar to the diagram that's shown here. So Process Center is the repository, and it actually has the database, which actually contains two pieces, the Process Center database and the data warehouse piece, as well as the Process Center server. So the concept here is to send these artifacts over to the runtime environments once they are ready to be deployed to the runtime servers. So the features of BPM provide for deployments at this deployments from the same Process Center to different runtime process servers. So the runtime environments in this case are actually the process servers. So as you see, there are three different types of process servers that can be defined: the staging, the test, and production, depending on how you want to deploy and which process server you want to deploy. You can choose the process server that you want to deploy and the topology that you want to use here. So basically, to reiterate, the repository is single one, and you can spread out your artifacts over to different runtime environments. Going on to slide number four. So the first piece we talked about was the runtime deploy, but there is another piece that actually happens during the designing of the BPDs and your artifacts. Is they are done through two types of tooling that BPM provides. One is the process designer and the other is the integration designer. Process designer is the designer where you design your BPDs and other human tasks and other things that you want to work through your BPM lifecycle. And integration design provides all these capabilities along with the SCA modules that you want to deploy. So all these artifacts, the process design is directly connected to the process center. So all the artifacts, all your development is actually directly goes into your BPM repository. And so is the case with the integration designer when you're connected directly to process center. So it's actually, there's no deploy as such, because the artifacts are directly are already deployed when you're connected to the process designer. And when you do a playback, it actually, the repository gives all the artifacts that you want to go through your process and do a playback and things like that. Going on to slide number five. So we distinguish three kinds of deployments based on the architecture that we just talked about. One is the process center deployments. This is kind of the design and deploy feature, where you actually, once you start developing your app in your process designer, the deployment happens in that scenario where you deploy to your artifacts that are already present in your repository, and you can do your playback and other things, because they're triggers the deployment in the process center. Process servers are the runtime environments where you can actually deploy your snapshots. Snapshots are the artifacts that are taken at a time. Like, this can be considered as versions and of your app, and they can be deployed to your runtime targeted runtime process servers. As we'll talk more, the runtime deployments actually are categorized into two again. If the processor deployment runtime deployments are categorized into two. One is the online deployment, and the other one is the offline deployment. The third one is the advanced deployment. This is done through your integration designer, where you have you will be connected to your process center. Once you give your credentials and your the address of your process center, you're connected to your process center, and when you open it in workspace, the deployment happens. So that's the advanced deployment, and you can do a refresh and publish from your integration designer. Those are the comes into the category of advanced deployments. Going on to slide number six, want to talk a little bit on the process server types of process servers and also deployment. So basically, talking about the process servers, the online servers. Online servers are actually directly connected to the process center, as in the process center knows all the details about the of the process server, and you can see what process servers a process center is connected in the process center console, and the servers tab actually provides all the details of all the process servers that it's connected to, and also it also gives status whether they are connected and whether they're up and running and whether the process center can talk to it correctly or not. That's important because it's when you're doing a process online deploy, the connection is important, and then because the artifacts are directly sent over to that targeted process server. The other thing that you can see from your process center service tab console is once you select your process server and click on that process server, you can see what apps are deployed to that particular process server, and also it shows the number of instances that are running for that particular snapshot and things like that. So some more details are provided when you click on that particular process server. Going on to slide number seven, offline servers are also featured that's provided to the BPM admin. This is because offline servers could be like in case your server is behind a firewall and it's not able to communicate with your process center, then an offline server could be added to your process center so that you can expose all your artifacts or export your snapshots and then deploy it at a later time. The process of deploying to offline process servers is well documented in the info center as well. The basic procedure is to creating a deployment package where you actually click on the snapshot and you export that deployment package, the zip file, and then that actually you can actually then retrieve that process SAP using the particular command, which is the retrieve process SAP package dot bat command, and that can be that's done at the process center side, process center server side, and then you would then deploy your process SAP package onto your process server using the install process SAP package command. So these actually there are in 7.5.1 and later releases, the wsadmin commands are also provided to work with the offline deploys as well. Moving on to slide number 8. So online deployments, actually, they're pretty seamless. So basically, the process center knows the status of the process server. So you just select the snapshot that you want to deploy, click on the snapshot and say deploy, and it brings up a dialog where you are given an option to select the process server that you want to deploy to. And only in case of there's one restriction of deployment in this case is that only an admin can deploy to a production server. So an admin of the rights are per process app. So once an admin role is given to a user for that process app, he's the one who can only deploy to that to the production servers. As I said, there are three different servers, right? Like the staging test and the production. Only production has this restriction where only admin can do it, and our author can do a deploy to a staging or development environment. So the process of online deployments is where the process center internally exports a zip file to a temp directory onto the process center server, and then once that's done, it deploys to that particular process using a HTTP servlet call. So that's pretty straightforward. And then once that's done, all the artifacts are then reside in the process server DB, where an user can create an instance and things like that. Going on to slide number 9. Before this, so there are actually two terms that are not listed here, but it's a process server deploy. Although it's called a deploy, it's actually named as an install. So an install is a term that's mostly used for a process server, whereas a deploy is kind of used only for process center environments. So when doing an install, it actually means you're installing to a process server, and you're creating the artifacts there, and then you will be able to activate that that snapshot for end users to create an instance. Once a snapshot is activated, you can actually create all the exposed BPDs will be shown in the portal where you can create and run the instances for that particular snapshot. So there are talking a little bit on the tables that are involved in the deployment scenarios, and one is the LSW server table. Actually, that's the table which keeps a record of the communication and between the process center and various runtime process servers. So let's say you have probably three runtime process servers. You'll have like at least three records here showing what the address of the address of that machine, of the process server machine, is, the port number it's residing on, and whether it's offline or online, and other things that are useful for the process center to communicate to that process server. So So anything that any communication that's done between process center and processor is recorded here in the LSW server tables. Now, LSW deployments table is another table that actually is residing on the process center side. So as deployments happen to different process servers, process center needs to keep a track of it. And that's done at the LSW deployments table. And it has details of all the snapshots that are deployed to which snapshot is deployed to which processor and things like that. So that's the LSW deployment table. Then it also has details on the number of instances that are running for that snapshot. That gives a detail on what's running and how many instances are running on that for that snapshot and where it's deployed, things like that. Moving on to the slide number 10, LSW installation is a table that resides on the process server side, and once a deploy happens, you should be able to see a record on the LSW installation table on the process server side. So that shows that the installation happened successfully, and then you'll be able to see what snapshot ID that's there and things like that. This could be useful when you are troubleshooting and you see some of these in the logs and stuff where you have a snapshot ID being printed and it's there's some error or something like that that can happen during a deployment. So these are the tables. The other tables, the BPM tables, are very specific to the advanced integration scenarios where, let's say you have an integration designer connected and you're working with your BPD, and you open up your workspace and creates AIs and other things. You'll see all the detail regarding an advanced integration scenario in the BPM tables. So those are tables. So LSW server table, the LSW deployment, the installation, and BPM tables are kind of the basic tables which keep a record of the deployments for the process servers. Slide number 11. As we talked about during the LSW server table, the LSW server table keeps a record of the process servers. It also has a particular column called as the last heartbeat. That's pretty important in terms of the communication as to, because if this record, this heartbeat is down, which actually, or you see last heartbeat of a timestamp which is a little behind the existing time, or a lot behind the existing time, then actually that means your communication between your process center and process server might be lost. So that's where you would probably kind of try to track back to see both in terms of the logs or in terms of maybe a firewall or change of system, anything that could have happened that caused the communication between the servers to be lost. So this is also important because during an online deploy, if this heartbeat is not current, then you'd probably the failure could happen for a deployment to that particular process server. So, as it says, is it available or not is also recorded in the LSW server. Also, there's one more aspect to the communication between process center and process server is it's the TW runtime user, TW runtime server user. It's actually recorded in one of the in the configuration, the Teamworks configuration running XML dot running dot XML, and it's that particular user is also used as a communication between the process center and process server. One restriction on the one of the things to consider is that this user needs to be present on both the process center side as well as the process server side. And also, let's say one at some point the password has changed on one of the servers, then you are probably looking at a miscommunication between process and process server, and that also could lead to deployment failure. So these are some of the internal aspects that you should be aware of during for the communication as well as for the deploy. So going on to slide number 12. So from a WASP perspective and from a deployment perspective, the user that's trying to deploy should be part of the at least deployer role in WebSphere. The screenshot here, you can see that all these users, the BPM admin, the TW admin, that's the internal users here, those users have the ability to deploy. So they're part of the role. They should be part of a role of at least a deployer to deploy the process apps, the snapshots. Moving on to slide number 13. So troubleshooting wise, it's if you're in a situation where you have failed deploy and things like that, it's important to also understand that what are the different stages of deployment and how does BPM manage from failed deploy. Well, the tracing options here that that are provided gives you kind of detail into more detail of what's happening internally in the logs and stuff, and you should be able to see what's happening internally during a deploy. It creates all the artifacts. It creates the zip files and sends it over to the process and things like that. Those can be seen in the tracing as well. So the failure, so there are different stages of deployment, and if you see a failure during the import of the snapshot, then the system actually rolls back, and you should be able to try the deploy again. And then if in other cases where it has gotten past the creation of the library items and things like that, and it's probably failing at maybe at the deployment service something or maybe in sending the tracking definitions, you should be able to then it won't roll back the initial step, but you should be able to try the next step. So in this case, so if the installation fails to send tracking definitions to business performance data warehouse, the installation still continues, but you need to manually send the definitions after the installation is complete. In another example is that if the installation service generates an exception when installing the toolkit or the process applications, the installation fails, and you should be considering building your installation service to capture exceptions and roll back any changes made before the exception is generated. If your installation service do not handle exceptions, you might need to manually roll back changes before attempting to reinstall. For example, if all the toolkit installation service is complete and then the installation service for the cross application fails halfway through this execution, you might need to roll back changes resulting in the partial completion of step 4. The toolkit installation is complete and does not need to be executed again. So this slide kind of gives you an idea of what to do when you at what to do when and failure happens and which stage the failure happens. Moving on to slide number 14. There some of the known exceptions are like usually see a regular exception that's thrown in during deployment time, which is the cannot find branch for versioning context exception. This is a pretty generic error, and although it gives you an idea that the deployment failed, the installation failed, it's not the original error. You should be able to look into other aspects of it. For example, in some cases, when you see this particular exception, it's probably because of the large the business data cache is pretty large, and you see this exception, and then you can look in the underlying exception. You can see that the business data cache is large. And some of the ways to recover from such exceptions is you can sometimes go into your process admin console, clear your caches like the PO cache, and that should help you recover from this particular exception. Or sometimes the restart of the service also helps you recover from this exception. The other exception that regularly seen is during the tracking, sending of the tracking definitions. In a clustered environment, what happens is usually in most cases, the performance data warehouse is residing on a support cluster. And this is not recognized because when you're looking at your exceptions, you see particular exceptions in our app, but that the deployment failed, but the actual exceptions sometimes actually reside on the support cluster. So it's important to check know that the performance data warehouse resides on your support cluster, and if something failed during tracking, sending track definitions, your error probably resides on the support cluster. So you probably checking the support cluster logs. JVM logs should help you track down this particular error. One of the regular exceptions that we have seen is that when sending, like if the app is large and you are tracking a lot of business objects in that app, the tracking point ID is large, and there's a limit on that one. And then once it hits that limit, this error comes in, and then the deployment fails. This is actually this issue has been fixed in 7.5.1. This was a usual issue that was seen in 7.5.01, but in 7.5.1 this issue is fixed, where the tracking points are sent are actually breaking down into smaller pieces before it's being sent into the performance data server. Talking on the same piece of it, the tracking definitions sometimes. So when the tracking definitions are sent over to the support cluster, the call goes through, but the client in the meantime is waiting for a response, and it times out usually, and that also could cause a deployment failure. So usually the workaround is kind of increasing the timeout value or making it to a bigger value so that it can wait a little more longer time for the definitions to be correctly sent to it for it to get a response on the call. So that's part two, and Another regular error that we have seen is during deploy. I mean, the process server when we are trying to deploy, although the server looks online and everything, but when we have an incorrect host file configuration, like you're pointing to a different server than the one you expect, that server could be online, but you're deploying actually to a wrong server. So so this could cause some confusion, and this can cause some failure of the app. We have seen that in such cases, when it actually is pointing to a different server, it comes back with an error saying, okay, you already have a snapshot ID on this particular server, you can't deploy it again. So it's difficult to track back on for this particular error, but if you look into your host file configuration, see how it's which servers it's pointing to and things like that. In cases where you clone VMs for process servers, then it's important to look into the host file configuration changes as well, so that its address is correct. Then we have seen an error where the retrieve process app package throws an create process error 87, and there's actually a fix for this particular error. This particular error that this is seen, it actually happens only in 7.5.1, and I think it's fixed in one of the A parts. In an advanced deploy, some of the cases, what happens is the when you're deploying and your underlying BPD is the same, the tip and the snapshot are shared the same record. So that actually also causes the deployment failure. The workaround for such scenario is kind of moving the tip a little bit further, so that any small changes will move the tip further, and saying that, and you should be able to deploy the your application. There's another issue that we have seen recently, where when you're doing a publish and refresh or opening a workspace on the integration designer, it takes a long time. This was caused basically due to a large number of snapshots present in the process center database. There are fixes that are out there for this one as well. So if you are an IID customer, these fixes should help you get past this particular error. This is also important, because these fixes actually have increased the performance a lot. So these fixes are important for IID, the advanced scenario customers. Moving on to slide number 15. I did provide a few references here. The first one is although the first reference talks about how you connect an existing process server, or let's say you something changed in a process server, how do you make it connect to your to a process center? So the first topic gives you a detail on that one. Or let's say you have a process server which is an offline, and then you want to make it online and things like that. This topic gives the first links, provides detail there. The other three also. Then the last one, there are a few more details in the second and third that are provided in the Info Center when you are installing the large process apps, and also during other issues that you see during deployments. The last one, the last link, provides details on changing your default passwords for BPM 751. Previously in the Lombardi Heritage product, the changing of passwords was had a different procedure, but with 7.5.1, you actually see a little more consolidated procedure where you can do it through your process admin console, and it's actually depends on changing in three particular locations, and that should help you change any passwords that are that need to be changed. For example, as I talked about, like let the runtime server use a password change and it causes issues, then this may be changing it back to something that you want on both sides. Using this information should be helpful. Moving on to slide number 16. I think that's pretty much it. And then in this topic, we have covered the various scenarios for application deployments and the two kind of deployments from a process center side, the online versus offline, also detailing on the online servers versus offline servers. We also talked a little bit on the understanding the communication between process center, process server, and lastly, some of the known issues that we have seen recently. Moving on to slide 17, I think that concludes my presentation, and let me hand it over to David for the rest of the session.
Thank you, Sridhar, for a great presentation. The slide here has some just additional WebSphere resources. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Amardeep Sharma. Your line is open.
I have a question for Sridhar. Like you mentioned that, like, you know, there is a LSW server table, like, you know, which keeps the record of the heartbeat between process center and process server. So I'm just have a question that if the process server is online only, then it will keep the record, or it keep records for online and offline process server?
Both.
It will keep both?
Okay. Yeah.
And another lucky question, like, you know, you mentioned regarding process integration in 7.5. So we are on 7.2. So is this some new feature, the process integration comes in the 7.5?
So when I talked about advanced scenario, it's the integration designer.
Integration designer, yes. So it is something new, like in 7.5?
It is. So with 7.5, we previously used to have another tool that was working with WPS. It's called the VID, and that's now it's now called the Integration Designer. That actually helps you develop your apps and all with the you can use your SCA components and it uses the SCA architecture and it uses the SCA components, and that will help you develop your SCA components along with and also does help interaction with your PPDs and stuff. So.
Okay.
There's a connection there with the SCA components.
Okay, cool.
It's another robust tool there, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a last quick question, like, you know, regarding the tracing, you mentioned some parameters, like, you know, debug parameters, like com.ibmfds.star is equal to all. So these parameters is need to be added where, like, in case we want to troubleshoot?
It depends process center side as well as process server side. Basically, usually they are added at the process server side because that's where you see the failure happening there.
Yeah, like there are some files, some configuration files or some files or something into the code, like where we add this one.
Okay, so this can be added on from your, there's a BPM WAS admin console.
Okay.
So there's a troubleshooting section, and under troubleshooting section, you can click on the logs and trace, and you can pick the server. You'll come up with a server name there.
Okay.
And once you pick the server name, you should be able to add the add your trace there.
Okay, cool. I think I got my answer. Thank you, Sridhar. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We had no further questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. Sridhar, we do have a couple questions from the group chat, and I don't know if you're looking at that or not, but the first one was from Satish Bathina. The question is, why do I need to have the same password in Process Center and Process Server for the runtime server user?
So I think that's part of the design, but I can get you the answer complete detail on that one. Basically, the it's set up at the authentication alias level as well, so that's used. Basically, Cross Center and Cross Server uses a particular user for communication. So since it's through, it could be SSL and other things. So that's why a particular user is set up, and that user needs to. Each of these are two different WAF cells as well, right? So each of these two cells need to know the authentication details there, and I think that's by design. I'll get you back to you on that one as to the particular reason, but I feel that's part of the design because it's the communication is between two different cells. The authentication needs to be known between these two servers.
Okay. And then also Satish asked the question, does TW author password, does that need to also match?
Not really.
Okay. Then Abu Zahir, he may have asked this on the phone, but he asked in the group chat, where do you change the timeout value?
So I'm assuming this is regarding the client inactivity timeout, and that's set up at the server level and under transaction service. So if you select your server and under container services and transaction service, you should be able to see that value, the client inactivity value. Let me redo that. So it's under server and container service and transaction service. That's where you set your client inactivity timeout.
Okay, thank you, Sridhar. There do not appear to be any more questions. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sridhar, for presenting today.
Thank you.